Good morning. We're in Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to begin this morning. If you'd like to open up your Bibles and turn there. Luke chapter 15. There in Luke chapter 15, Jesus had been criticized by some scribes and Pharisees for associating with sinners. And in response to this, he speaks the parable of the lost sheep. And in this parable, he talks about a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and 99 of them are safe and sound, but there's one sheep that's gone astray. And he points out that that shepherd is going to leave the 99 and go find that one that has been lost. And if he finds it, he's going to come back rejoicing because the sheep that was lost is now found, and he's going to call his friends and neighbors, and they're going to rejoice over the sheep that was lost and is now found. And his conclusion to this parable is found in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7. He says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And we sometimes quote this verse, and rightfully so, when a person becomes a Christian, to remember just how much joy there is in heaven when even one person makes the choice to become a Christian. And really, this verse could apply to situations also where someone who is a Christian is sinning in some way and repents of that and turns back to God. But we apply this sometimes to situations where someone makes the choice to put on Christ and become a Christian and begin following Him, to show just how much joy there is when someone makes that choice. And certainly that's as significant, if not more significant, in our lives than anything else we'll ever do or say or any other choice we'll ever make, is that choice that we make to become a Christian. And so we don't want to undervalue the importance of that choice that we make to become a Christian, but we also don't want to go too far the other way and act as though becoming a Christian is reaching the finish line in our service to Christ. Because really, when we become a Christian, we're not at the finish line in our service to Christ, but we've just begun our service to Christ. When we become a Christian, we now have a number of responsibilities laid before us that God expects us to fulfill. And when we become a Christian, we shouldn't think that we're to just stay as we are throughout the rest of our lives. But instead, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Christians are to be growing. As Peter there writing to Christians says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so this morning we want to talk about spiritual growth, and we first want to recognize that each one of us, when we become a Christian, we are expected to grow. We're not expected to just stay as we are once we become Christians, but we're to be continuously growing and developing to become more like what God would have us to be. And what I want to look at here for a few minutes this morning are some things, ingredients we'll call them, that are needed for us to be growing spiritually as God would have us to. And we first want to note that one thing that is needed for us to grow spiritually as God would have us to is the Word of God. This is in a lot of ways the foundation for spiritual growth. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 2, there the Holy Spirit through Peter says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." When he says, "as newborn babes," most translations say, "like newborn babes." He's not saying there, I don't think, since all of you are newborn babes in Christ, here's what you should do. But I think what he's getting at here is, just like a newborn baby desires physical, literal milk and longs for it and yearns for it, that's how you need to be with the Word of God. That nourishment that you can receive through the Word of God, you need to be longing for it, just like a baby longs for milk. And so we need to be longing very earnestly for this nourishment that is in God's Word. And notice what this does for us at the end of that verse. It says that you may grow thereby. And so we study diligently the Word of God, not just to gain knowledge for the sake of gaining knowledge, but we do so because through the Word of God, it allows us to grow and to develop and to become more like what God would have us to be. If you go back to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, here in Matthew 13, Jesus speaks what we often call the parable of the sower. In this parable, Jesus talks about seed being sown on four different types of soil, and the seed that he talks about is the Word of God. And some of that seed fell by the wayside. And the seed that fell by the wayside represented people who would hear the Word, but it did absolutely no good because their hearts were hardened. And then he talked about some seed that fell in stony places. And those were individuals who would hear the Word and it would start to produce some good, but it didn't last because that Word didn't get deeply rooted in their hearts. It was a shallow faith that they had. Then he talks about some seed that fell among the thorns, and that represented individuals who would hear the Word and had a desire to do some good for the Lord, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the Word that it became unfruitful. They cared too much about temporal things for that seed that was sown in their hearts to really have bear the good fruit that God wanted it to bear. But then when we get down to verse 8 there of Matthew 13, Jesus says, "Other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." And if you skip down to verse 23, he explains there what this represents. He says, "He that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30." And so we see from this parable the need for us to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. But we also see from this parable that if we do that, if we have an open and honest heart, and we then allow the Word of God to get into that heart, it's going to produce good fruit in our lives. And so as we talk about spiritual growth, we realize that the foundation for spiritual growth is the Word of God. That's the seed that produces Christians. That's the seed that leads us to grow and to develop into the kind of people that God would have us to be. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so not only is the Word of God what leads people to believe in Jesus as His Son and make the choice to become Christians, but throughout our lives, as we grow in the faith and develop, this Word is what is at the foundation of that, as we're allowing it to make us into the kind of people that God would have us to be. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul there was not speaking to non-Christians. He wasn't speaking to babes in Christ, but he was speaking there in Acts 20 and verse 32 to some elders in a local church, specifically the elders at Ephesus. But he told them there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, he said, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And so not only in the hearts of those who have not yet accepted Christ and become Christians, but also in the hearts of those even who are very spiritually mature Christians, even in the hearts of these elders here who Paul was talking to, we find that the Word of God is what will lead us to be built up, to be strengthened, to grow and to develop into the kind of people that God would have us to be. And so if we're going to be growing spiritually, as Peter commanded in 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 18, we need to be studying diligently the Word of God, because that's the seed that will lead us to grow and to be molded into what God desires. But not only do we need to study the Word, but we also need to be making sure that we're meditating on the Word. When we're not reading it and studying it directly, we should be thinking about it continuously throughout our lives and how it applies in various situations. If you turn back to Psalm 1, and I'm going to read the first three verses here. Psalm 1, beginning here at verse 1, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And now notice the comparison in verse 3. It says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." If we want to be like a tree that is planted by the water. Our leaves do not wither. We are bearing fruit as God would have us to. We need to be constantly meditating day and night on the Word of God. And so the first point we want to understand about spiritual growth is that the Word of God is, in a lot of ways, the foundation for this growth, and we need to be feasting upon that spiritual nourishment that is the Word of God, studying it diligently and meditating upon it if we expect to grow as we should. But we don't just study and meditate on the Word of God in order to gain knowledge or in order to think about how God's Word applies to other people, but we also need to be looking at our own lives and asking ourselves the question, as I study the Word and as I look at myself, where do I fall short of what God's standards are for me, and where do I need to improve, where do I need to grow? And this is something that's really, really important if we're going to be growing spiritually as we should. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, there the inspired writer says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, so that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? That command to examine ourselves is something that's really, really important when we think about spiritual growth. If we are studying the Word, but we're not looking at ourselves and asking ourselves the question, where am I falling short? If we're not continuously doing that, then we're going to be missing opportunities to improve and to allow God's Word to change us and mold us, because we're not recognizing any areas of improvement in our lives because we're not doing that self-examination that Paul talks about there in 2 Corinthians 13, 5. If you turn back to the book of Haggai, back in the book of Haggai, this is a short book of prophecy, and it was a book addressed to the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem from captivity, and they were to make the rebuilding of the temple their main priority. But they hadn't been doing that. They'd been building their own houses and doing other things for themselves, to serve themselves. And notice what Haggai, as the messenger of God, tells them here in Haggai chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. Haggai 1, beginning at verse 5, he says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Here Haggai points out, if you would stop and just look at what you're doing and look at the fruit that you're producing in your life, you'd realize you're putting forth a lot of effort. He points that out there in verse 6, but you're not accomplishing anything because you have misplaced priorities. You're focusing on what you want instead of what God wants. And so he tells him, stop and consider your ways. Think about this. Think about whether you're really doing what God would have you to do and bearing the fruit in your life that you should. And so this is something that's really important as it relates to spiritual growth. We need to be studying and meditating upon the Word of God to understand what God's will is for us, and then looking inwardly and asking ourselves the question, where do I fall short? Where do I need to improve? Where do I need to grow? How am I doing with these commands that God gives us in His Word? But then, once we have studied the Word of God and found I need to be doing this, and we look inwardly and we say, I've been struggling, I need to improve, we then need to put into practice God's will for our lives. And practicing God's will for our lives is something that can help us to grow spiritually, and I'm going to explain that in just a moment. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, this passage here, the last four verses of this chapter, have a lot to do with spiritual growth, or teach some important lessons about spiritual growth. Here, the inspired writer has been talking about how Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he tells him in verse 11, I've got a lot more to say on this matter, but I can't tell you, because he says they're hard to be uttered because you're dull of hearing. And in verse 12, he tells them, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so here the Hebrew writer talks to people who should have been growing, but they hadn't been. And it helps us to see our need to be growing and our need to be developing as we should. And we need to make sure that we're not people who God would say this about, that God wouldn't turn to us and say, well, you should be teachers by now. You should be able to handle strong meat by now, but you're not at that point because you've not been growing. But I want to notice something that's said there in verse 14 that's important about spiritual growth. There in verse 14 says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That phrase, by reason of use, is an important phrase to stop and consider. The word use that is found there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it comes from a Greek word that I think is only used one time in Scripture, but it's a word that refers to a practice or a habit. In other words, he's saying that those who have grown and developed and matured spiritually, yes, they've been studying the Word of God and meditating on it and growing in their knowledge of the Word of God, but they've been putting it into practice. They've been practicing the will of God by reason of use, he says there in that verse. And that's something that is very important for us to be growing spiritually as we should. We understand this basic principle in our lives in general. If we think about any kind of work that we're doing that we want to improve in, or we think about even a hobby, something that we're doing that we want to get better at, we understand that the more that we practice, generally the better we get at it. And the same is true with a lot of things that are God's will for us. If we think about a husband who studies the Bible and says, well, husbands need to be loving their wives like Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Look at all these responsibilities that God gives to husband. I need to be doing a better job at that. We examine ourselves. If we will start putting that into practice, don't just take that knowledge and say, okay, now I know that to be true, but if we seek to be doers of that and we seek to put it into practice and think about different areas of our lives where we need to improve and do better, and we start applying those principles, the more that we do that, the better we can get in our role as husbands, the more we can grow and to develop into the kind of husbands God wants us to be. And it's that way with a lot of things that God would want us to do. The more that we practice it, the more spiritual exercise we give ourselves, as that verse refers to, the better we'll get and the more that we'll be growing and developing and becoming what God would have us to be. And so we need to be studying diligently and meditating on God's Word, looking inwardly and asking, where do I need to improve? And then putting into practice God's will for our lives. And as we do these things, it will be helping us to grow spiritually as we should. But something else that is very important if we're going to be growing spiritually as we should is to be spending the appropriate time with saints and assembling with saints when we have ability and opportunity. If you go to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. These verses are quoted a lot, but I just want to think about something that's implied through these verses here this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says here, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So these verses show us that we should not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and that part of the reason we come together is out of consideration for one another. And so we think about, okay, how can we edify, how can we build up all those who we come together and assemble with? But if you think about the reciprocal of that, if you will, or the opposite of that, in a sense, this implies that we are edified and we are strengthened and we are exhorted and we are encouraged as we come together with saints. And so we come together to edify and be edified by others. And that doesn't mean that we should just be coming together for selfish reasons and asking, what is my church doing for me and how are they helping me? We should be thinking about what we can do for the Lord's church first and foremost. But we do recognize that when we come together and assemble with saints, that's very beneficial to us. And just as we seek to benefit others, it's very beneficial to us as well. And so we can help each other as we spend time together. If you turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, there the inspired writer says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." We've talked about that word edify before, that word means to build up. And so earlier on, we saw in Acts 20 and verse 32 that the word of God is able to build us up. But here this verse also mentions that as saints, we should be building each other up. And we do that, whether directly or indirectly, we do that through the word. But we should be building each other up. And that means that if we're going to be growing spiritually as we should, we need to be coming together with saints so that we can be edified and we can be strengthened. And so that's something else that's very, very important if we're going to be growing spiritually. But one more thing that we want to note about spiritual growth, and this one is as important as any, is that we need to be continuously going to God in prayer and asking Him for His help. There in 1 Thessalonians 5, down at verse 17, the inspired writer there says, "Pray without ceasing." And when he says pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean every minute of every hour of every day we're going to be praying. If we did that, we wouldn't be able to fulfill other responsibilities that God gives us. But what it means is we need to have a continuous prayer life, a constant prayer life. We shouldn't be people who God just hears from randomly. We shouldn't be people who God just hears from when we assemble with saints. We should be people who each day of our lives, a focal point of our lives is going to God in prayer. And it's hard to say just exactly how much we should be going to God in prayer. Sometimes brethren might ask that question. We have the example of Daniel praying to God three times each day. But even in that example, we don't know just how much time he spent going to God in prayer, whether it was 5 minutes or 15 minutes or how long it was. And so we're not told just exactly how much time to allocate each day to prayer, but it certainly should be something that is a focal point of our lives. If we're going to be people who are praying without ceasing and praying like Jesus did and like the apostles did. And this is something that can be really, really beneficial as we strive to grow spiritually. If you turn to James chapter 1, in James chapter 1 and in verse 5, in James chapter 1 and in verse 5, there the inspired writer says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And so there he talks about how we seek to grow in wisdom. And he says, if you're lacking in wisdom, you can go to God in prayer and ask for him and he will help you with that. It doesn't mean that he's going to just miraculously impart wisdom into our minds so that we know this word completely and understand everything there is to know and we don't have to do any studying on our part. But it means that as we go to God studying his word, trying to better understand his will, we can ask for his help with that. And I don't understand just how it is that he answers those requests. I don't know if he will lead us to a particular passage that we really need to read that day, or if he helps to open our minds as we're studying, or if he even maybe brings something into our lives to help us to apply the principles that we see in God's word. I don't know just how exactly he answers those requests, but we certainly know that he answers them because James chapter 1 and verse 5 says he does if we ask according to his will. So we need to be people who are going to God in prayer, asking for his help to grow in wisdom and to understand better God's will for our lives. And not only can we ask for his help to grow in wisdom, but we can ask for his help to grow in any area that we need to improve upon. If you turn to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Here is Paul's prayer for the Philippian brethren. And notice the things that he prays for here on the Philippian brethren's behalf. He says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." As you think about what Paul's praying for, here for the Philippian brethren, he's praying that they grow and that they improve and that they develop. He's praying that they grow in love and that they be filled with fruits of righteousness and that they be sincere and improving things that are excellent. These things are all tied in with spiritual growth. And Paul was praying for the Philippian brethren that they would be helped with that. And we too can go to God in prayer and ask for his help. Anything that we're striving to improve and grow in and develop with our character, with our conduct, we can go to God in prayer and ask for his help, and he'll help us with that. And we may not know just exactly how he's going to do that, but we know he's going to help if we go and ask for his help according to his will. And so fervent, ceaseless, continuous prayer is something else that's very, very important if we're going to be growing spiritually as we should. So as we come back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 and think about this again, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hope that as we have studied these things here this morning, that we can first and foremost realize our need for growth. That as Christians, we shouldn't seek to just stay as we are. There's certain truths that we come to understand when we become Christians, and we should be steadfast in those truths and not waver on those things. But in general, in our lives, when we think about our character and our conduct, we shouldn't just stay as we are. And so we need to be steadfast, but at the same time be willing to yield, willing to change, willing to grow and improve in areas where God would have us to. And spiritual growth is something that's needed for every single Christian. And until the day that we leave this earth, we should be growing in knowledge and growing in our character and just in our who we are as servants of God. And I hope that this lesson can help us not only to understand our need for that, but also to understand some things that are necessary for us to be doing if we're going to be growing as we should. If we're not constantly going to God in prayer and asking for his help and spending time with saints and studying the Word of God and looking at ways we can improve upon our lives and put into practice God's Word, if we're not doing these things, we're not going to be growing as we should. And I hope that this lesson can help us to better understand that. There might be some here this morning who are not yet Christians, and you've seen as we've looked at these things here this morning that when you make the choice to become a Christian, you're not saying, I'm someone who is just a perfectly mature Christian as soon as I come out of the water. You're not saying, I know everything there is to know about the Bible. You're not going to know that when you become a Christian. But if you understand that Jesus is the Son of God, and you understand that you have sinned, and because of your sin, you are the wages of that sin is eternal death. But Jesus, through his death on the cross and his resurrection, allows you to have the opportunity to be forgiven. And you can do so if you'll repent, you'll give your life to him, you'll be buried in baptism for the remission of sins. You can start living that life of servitude toward God. And if you understand that and have the desire to become a Christian here this morning, we'd love to help you with that. You can start the process here this morning of living a life of servitude toward God. And while it is a growth process and there's a lot of challenges that come with being a Christian, the reward that comes with being right with God far outweighs any challenges or sufferings we face as we're here on this earth. And if you want to leave here this morning in a condition where you're right with God, we'd love to help you with that. If you are a Christian who's struggling with some sin in your life, that you would like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. Whatever your need may be, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.